Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you again, and God's given us another wonderful day, and we're one day closer to the time when our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be coming back and taking over this earth. And I was reading the other day in Isaiah how wonderful that will be, because it says the deserts will bloom like a rose, and the blind will see and the deaf will hear. And I think that the day that he sets foot on this planet, every sick person on the planet will be instantly healed. Because Jesus is our great God and he is our wonderful Savior. So up here in where we're at in Cleveland, Ohio, it's like the North Pole today. It's not blowing, but it sure is cold, and there's still, it looks like the middle of winter. And Brother Al, who does the science report, he had had problems getting here on the road, but because of modern technology, he'll be giving his science report very soon. And he's just waiting to come on the radio, so it's amazing with the modern technology. It just reminds me, the Bible talks about before Jesus comes back, when two prophets, Moses and Elijah, show up in Jerusalem, that the whole world's going to see their prophecy as they prophesy, and then they're going to be put to death by the Antichrist, dictator of the world. And at that point, God is going to raise him from the dead, and it says everybody's going to see in the world, so they'll be watching their televisions when they are raised by God from the dead and then taken up to heaven. That's modern technology. But the Bible predicts it all, and that is found in the book of Revelation. We can believe it. The Bible predicts the future in detail. We talked to other times about, for instance, talks about a woman getting on the great eagle, and she gets on and flies into the desert. So there you have airplane flight. And there's so many details that the Bible predicts. And so we can trust in this book. That's what this book is all about. I call it equal time, this program, because so many people attack the Bible because they don't want the authority of God to be here. And, you know, you accept Jesus Christ, that's accepting his words. And Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you. Jesus and his words always go together. You can't separate the two. And we have his words in the authorized King James Bible of 1611. And that's what this program upholds. So we call it equal times because so many people attack it and we uphold it. And some people might be irritated by what we're saying at times. And I think of the passage in the Old Testament. He says, my shepherds are all dumb dogs. They refuse to bark. And I'm nearly 75 years old, and I'm very close. Who knows when the Lord's going to take me. But I don't want to get a DD degree from the Lord when I get to heaven. That's a dumb dog degree. I want to have him give me a good welcome as I come to be with him, and that is a day that no one knows when that'll take place, but we don't know when the rapture will take place either. But a dog, when he barks, is very irritating, but God has told preachers to bark. You know, I mean, he's told them to say things that are irritating at times. We don't try to be irritating, but what we say sometimes comes out that way. We say that we have the Word of God in the King James, the rest of them are counterfeits. And you know, each one of these, one of the Bibles, they're based on different Greek and Hebrew texts. They don't come from the same source. And the text for the modern versions are corrupt text. The ancient manuscripts, over 99% of the ancient manuscripts and ancient church fathers back up the King James. And this is the earliest text. And we talk about, for instance, the Syriac Peshitta, supports the King James. Tatian's Diatessaron, Harmony of the Gospel, supports the King James. The italic text, the first old Latin Bible that was written supports the King James. That is, supports the text of the King James. Hundreds of these Bibles are all over Europe. And the Gothic. And there's numbers of words in our King James Bible that were translated into Gothic, which was the earliest part of the English language, that are still in the King James today. And so we say that this is the one that God has preserved. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And some of the translations, they come out and they get huge amounts of millions of dollars of advertising. For a while they're around, but then they disappear, go off the scene. But the Authorized Bible, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger will they not follow. So they continue to go back to this one because Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. And God's Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. God's Holy Spirit is involved in translations. And when we read our King James, we are reading all truth. We don't believe in people correcting it. We believe God has given us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, James says that we can look at the perfect law of liberty. He's talking about the Word of God, and he says we can look at it, and it's perfect. I am looking at my King James Bible. Now, today, I want to talk about Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, and it's an incredible promise that God has given us, and it's about our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what this verse says? It says this, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we'll be talking about that in just a few minutes, but we're going to have a report from Pastor Al. I don't know if he's in his car or in his house right now, but he's all ready and primed for one of those wonderful scientific reports. So, Brother Al, go ahead.
Well, thank you, Brother Bruce. And just a reminder that you can always go to the website for Bruce's program at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can learn a little bit more about Bruce Musselman. And also you can listen to some of the past programs there. And so I encourage you to check that out at whereisgodsword.com. And today, Bruce, I wanted to look at a passage in Proverbs chapter 6. And this one will really be in line with the theme of your program, defending God's Word in the King James Bible in particular. In Proverbs chapter 6, there's a verse that starts here, and we'll go down to verse number 6. The Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth for meat in the summer and gathereth for food in the harvest. Now, that's a great little passage talking about being industrious, and we've all seen ants and how ants, you know, they scurry about. They're always busy and they're always everywhere. I remember my wife and I, when we were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, the various bugs that we had, you could get used to different things, but the ants were just like relentless. We put out some of that ant poison one time, and I think we all came and drank it and came back for more and invited the neighboring ant hills to come and help themselves too. So ants are just
preacher. We're getting a little bit of a distortion here. I don't know if you can adjust your mic, maybe not,
okay,
but see what you can do.
More. But hear me a little better there?
Okay, go ahead and see.
All right. And so you look at the ant here in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 6 through 8. Now, I just read it in the King James Version of the Bible. Now, what I'm going to do here, and you'll see the scientific application in just a moment, I'm going to read the same verse in the New International Version, or the same passage, okay? Now, see if you can catch the subtle difference here. It says in Proverbs 6, starting in verse 6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Now, the King James says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways. And it talks about providing her meat and gathering her food But the New International Version takes the word her out and puts it in its place. This is an error. It's not only an error in the scripture, an error in the translation, it's a scientific error. When you see ants, the ants that you see scurrying about, you know, getting into your sugar or invading your picnic, those are all female ants. All the ants you see around about, the queen ant, the soldier ants, the worker ants, they're all female. And so the King James is absolutely scientifically correct when it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways. The male ants are very short-lived. They usually only appear for a very short time, and and they swarm for mating with the new queens, and then they die. So the ants that you always see are female. When you look in Proverbs chapter 6 in the New International Version, they've taken that scriptural distinction away. They've not only tarnished the scriptures, but they've also taken away the scientific accuracy with the generic it. There's no scientific accuracy in it. That could be male or female or both.
Preacher, can I interrupt what you're saying for just a second? See, the New International Version, they want it to be gender neutral.
Exactly.
And so they didn't know that science that was
exactly
there. And so they've changed it. How in the world can it be God's word if they can change something so basic as that, you know? I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to read the words of men. I can read them any day. I want to read the words of God.
And so when you look at this passage in Proverbs chapter 6, not only is the King James Version of the Bible true to the scripture, to the Hebrew here, it's also true to science, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Science supporting the Bible, and not just any Bible, but the King James Version.
Well, thank you very much. That was an excellent report, you know. And like I say, they deliberately made the NIV gender neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, what they did is made it gender neutral, and they messed up some kind of a scientific statement there that the King James gives.
Right.
And of course, it's the Word of God, so God knew all of these things, and he put it in there just as he wanted it in by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. And God that created everything, he knows science, and he put it in there just the way he wanted.
Exactly. He knew they were female ants. I don't know that the writer here would have known that, but he knew it because he created them.
Yeah, so thank you for that report, and I always enjoy those reports. I tell you, it really makes this program worthwhile. And I hope if you're in your car or wherever you're at, you got home safely.
Oh, thank you. Doing okay. Just
okay.
A little rough on the roads.
All right. Thank you very much. We always appreciate you being with this program.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I took the scripture verse today. I want to talk about it. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And I was thinking, I knew one time of a young lady, and her parents were married, and they had a good life together. And one day, somebody introduced her father to drink, and so he got involved with liquor, and he began to become abusive and beat her mother, and eventually they were separated, and so I think that he had died then. But people change, and I'm sure many people that are listening today, you've had friends or you have relatives or family members that have changed. This verse says Jesus Christ is the same, and that's wonderful. He's somebody that we can depend on. We may not be able to depend on, may have had friends that they leave us, but Jesus Christ is the same. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we see in Hebrews chapter, in that chapter, so we can say we don't have to fear, but Jesus Christ, he is the same as being a helper to us. And so Hebrews chapter 13, and I'll find this here in my Bible in verse, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what a wonderful thing. So we don't have to fear because he will always be there to help. I remember I had in class, and I used to teach at Massillon Baptist College, and we had a I would always ask the students to thank the Lord for something. And so one of the young ladies there, she said, well, I want to thank the Lord for helping us because, she said, we needed a car, and her husband and her, she said, they prayed about it and asked the Lord to give them a car. They were planning to be missionaries. And so she said, next day, somebody came and knocked on their front door next morning and said, we felt like God wanted us to give you a car. And they lived in Michigan. And they had come down the night before, stayed in a motel in Massillon, and then next morning knocked on the door and gave her the keys to a car. Well, Jesus is our helper. He helped his apostles and disciples back then in that day, and he still helps us today. Isn't that a wonder? We have a wonderful God. And I know sometimes I prayed in bed, you know, and even in my own mind, and yet I've seen God answer things. And, you know, it's almost, it makes you afraid when you see the power of our God, that he can do anything that he wants. He's alive and well, and so he is there to help us. I mentioned this before in the radio, but I talked to one young woman, and I said to her, I said, our God's alive. And she said, that's right. He took me off of crack cocaine, which is one of the most addictive drugs, without even going through withdrawal symptoms. And so Jesus Christ was the same in his day. He answered people's prayers. He took care of his disciples. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We think of Peter, and he said, let me walk on the water. He saw Jesus walking on the water. And so Peter got out of the boat, and we got to give him credit for that. And he was walking on the water. He began to sink, and Jesus reached out his hand and took him. You see, he sank because he wasn't looking at Jesus. And the Bible says we live the Christian life by looking at Jesus. The Bible tells us that that's how we do it. See, people get messed up when they're looking at other people. Some people looking at Christians or preachers or something, and if they mess up, then the person messes up. We'll go to heaven and we'll live a straight line as a Christian if we look to Jesus. I remember one time when I was working on a farm, and the farmer told me, he says, when you plow, he says, look to the end of the row. And so I would do that, and I'd look to the end of the row, and when I looked back after I got to the end of the row, I made a straight line, and I was surprised how straight it was. And then one time I thought, well, I'll just look down. And so I looked down, and I got to the end of the row, and I looked there, and man, my row was crooked enough to break a snake's back. Thought it's good the farmer didn't show up that day. But you see, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he's always with us. And we keep our eyes on him, and we'll live a straight Christian life. Forget about what other Christians are doing. You just serve him. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And we repeat that idea. He is the same today as our helper, and he helped them, and he will help us. He is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can thank the Lord Jesus. He's going to be the same forever. I was thinking about when he had two friends, and Mary, Martha, and he had Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and he would go and visit them. And he would have a wonderful time in fellowship with them. And one day it was about 90 miles north in Galilee, and they called for him. They said, Lazarus, who you love, is sick. Would you come? He didn't come right away. And finally, when he got there, Lazarus had been dead, and he had been dead for about 4 days, and his body smelled. And they had put him in the tomb. And so they had a conversation, Mary and Martha, they talked to Jesus. They said, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. It's something that Christians say sometimes when their loved ones died. Lord, why didn't you do something? The Lord loves us, and he didn't do anything then. But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. What religious leader could ever say that in the history of the world? I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, he was saying, I put Lazarus together in the first place, and I can put him back together. Take me to the tomb. And they went to the tomb, and he says, take away the stones. And then Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And at that moment, Lazarus came out of the tomb. These were real people. They found their coffins over there, and they probably have them in a warehouse outside of Jerusalem. And it has their names on them. And Lazarus later died. But Jesus raised him from the dead. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when we die in this life, and Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never die. What's that mean? Well, we're like a caterpillar. We're crawling on the earth right now. But the caterpillar, he crawls out of his cocoon and gets wings, becomes a beautiful butterfly, and flies away. And so we're going to crawl out of our cocoon when we die as human beings, and they'll leave the old body down here, and we're going to immediately go to be with Jesus Christ. You know, if you are saved, if you have put your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, when you die, you will go to heaven. You're as sure of heaven as if you've been there a million years. Right now, Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, you can believe your preacher, or you can believe what Jesus said, or you can believe a preacher that believes what Jesus said. Jesus says, I'll never cast you out. And if you today put your faith in him that he died for your sins and was punished for every one of your sins, and he bodily rose from the dead, you can know that the second that you die, you will be more alive than you have ever been. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is a wonderful thought. I remember going to my mother's funeral, and I thought many times, what will it be like? And so as she was there in the coffin, I was thinking about it, and I can't say I had any emotional experience. I love my mother. She's a great lady. And I was thinking about the promises of the Lord, and I thought, from the Word of God, it says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I thought, she is out of all of her pain. She is going to have absolute and total joy forever and ever, have total peace forever and ever. She has seen the Lord Jesus Christ. She's going to live in a mansion, and it will be wonderful. And she's there, and she's met her family already. And so that is the promise that God has given us. Jesus Christ did it back then. How do I know? How can I believe? Jesus died. He was buried, and he was the only religious leader. He says, I'm coming out bodily and physically on the third day. And so they put him in the tomb. You could go there and walk in the tomb. It's different from any other tombs because he's not there. I walked in the tomb, and I saw the place where they laid him in the tomb. It was right near where he was crucified. And he was crucified. His followers saw him. And the third day, just as he said, he came bodily and physically out of that tomb after being dead for 3 days and three nights. And he was on the earth for 40 days after that. They saw him. 500 people saw him alive after he rose from the dead. And it caused a spiritual explosion because thousands of Jews became believers in Jesus, and they were bilingual, lived all over the world. And the Bible says a number of times in the New Testament, everybody on earth heard the great message of the gospel. God took on a human body. He was punished for every sin you ever committed or will commit. And the Bible says he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You will meet God without any record that you have ever sinned, and you will meet him. Exceeding means tremendous joy that will last through all eternity because of Jesus. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And we have it today in the authorized King James Bible, and translations around the world that come from that. Well, you have a wonderful day, and may God bless you. And let's look forward to the day when the rapture will come and we will all be with the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.